your useful course. I apologize for the sound tonight, but when we move from room to room, it seems like it just, we set it on one setting because we're in a large auditorium, and then we set it on another one back here. You're not able to always know exactly what to do, but as we catch them, we try to catch them in advance. But I thank God for everybody who's out tonight, and the Lord is keeping it. I want to encourage everybody who's, as they used to say in church, God Christ, yet holding on. Mm-hmm. And you haven't let anything stop you, and you keep going on in God. Tonight I was looking at who's in the house of God, who's not. If you're not going to come to the house of God, you ought to be on one of them. You are going to need God. And we can't stop stressing that. And I make an attempt to be the loving, kind, ingratiating. It's like basic training. When I came through basic training, they didn't spare anybody's feelings. They said whatever they wanted to say to you and pressed on. And you could like it or not. And you could either be in or you could be out. And then they came to have an all-volunteer force, and they thought we really need people in the military, so we'll have a kind of gentler force. And I can go along with that because we'll talk people into being in the military and so forth and so on. And I'm not against it, but we're trying to do the same thing in churches, and I'm not against it either here because I know Pentecostalism can be very hard and it can be brutal. But you know what? You might not be the parents that we were. You can't in these days times. You really can't even say publicly, my dad beat me and I beat my children. You have to be careful how you say that.
Yeah.
You can't publicly be in the store and say I'm tear your end up when I get home. You have to be very careful how you say that. But the desired result is probably the same, and it's the same thing in the house of God. There are a lot of things that I've heard people say in churches that really were just verbal abuse in my mind.
Yes.
And I would never do that. But we can't not tell people, if you keep messing around, you're going to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
You won't halfway, you don't want to halfway come, you don't want to halfway show up. You know what? You are going to hell. And I think that we probably in the desire to be more pleasant and be more, which I'm all in favor of, because really, who wants to be around a bunch of really rough, mean, hurtful, and churches have hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I used to hear them say all the time, I tear you down, then I build you back up. I saw a whole lot of tearing down. I saw very little building back up.
Yes.
And so I'm not in favor of that either, but we can't get around it. You know, there's some things you're going to have to do. We might rear our children differently than what we raised up, and we might not bring out the belt or the strap or whatever it is as much as that, but we have to have a way of saying to them, but there's some things you cannot do.
Yes.
And there's some things you absolutely must do.
Yes.
And it's that way in God. God is a loving God. He's a merciful Savior. As a matter of fact, if it were not for the grace and mercy of God, none of us would be saved. And we, two things that we live on, and I don't care who we are, and I don't care how much word we got, and God knows I wish I knew more, and I wish I had a formal education in theology, and I just wish I did, but those years are gone now. I don't have another 30 years to spare going back and learning all those, so I encourage anybody who can in any way educate themselves in the Word of God, but in your education in the Word of God, make sure that you get a good dose of the Holy Ghost to go along with it. Otherwise, it will spoil on you.
Yeah.
And I encourage everybody to do all that. But at the same time, we can't get ourselves to a point where we are saying to people that you can educate yourself into heaven, because it doesn't help. It don't work like that.
No.
There has to be some glorying of God, and some has to be some praise and some worship of God. And when a person lacks the desire to worship and praise God, that is a strong indicator that although they might know the way, they might have heard the word, that you don't have the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Because the Spirit of God always desires to praise God. It is the Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit in me that desires to praise God when my body feels like it wants to go to bed, doesn't want to move, and my body doesn't want to cooperate, or it's sick, or it's feeling bad. And my body is not lying to me. It's mortal. So when it says it feels bad, it does.
Yes.
And when it says that it hurts, it does. And believe it or not, that your body hurts is beneficial, because therein you know that there's something wrong with you. And then you can, you know, it's an alarm bell saying, hey, you know, something's not working here. And all these things that add up in these bodies, you know, all these things that happen in these bodies are a very convincing argument that we're mortal.
Yes.
And that we're not going to last forever, because some of them we can fix and some of them we cannot. And whatever we fix is still only temporary.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if we, I have a very loving and kind Savior. If it were not for His grace on a daily basis, His grace, His unmerited favor, His loving me and wanting me even though I have not earned it, don't deserve it. You know, we sing the song, You Deserve It. We're talking to God deserve it. We're never talking about us. We haven't ever deserved anything. You know, it's because of God's grace and mercy that we were created. You may as well say, well, I deserve to be created. No, you didn't. And it isn't that you didn't deserve to be created. As a matter of fact, it's just a moot point. If God hadn't created you, you wouldn't be here.
That's right.
So when we look at our churches and church growth, and we're trying to grow here, and we're loving it, we're trying to sing, and you know, we're working with our drummer, and he's, you know, like to have someone who's a little bit more skilled. But until that person comes, we're giving God what we got. You can say, well, it sounds horrible. But you can say what you want to. But we're giving God what we got. I'm like the woman who had 2 pence. She didn't have, you know, I'm sure she would have loved to give thousands of dollars.
Yes.
It's a shame that the people who had thousands of dollars didn't feel the same way.
Yes.
It's a shame that the people who have the talent to be musicians and all those things don't feel like the people who don't have the talent, but they're giving God what they got.
Yes.
And there's a reward. There's a reward for that. It's a shame that the people who have means don't seem to need to use them, don't see the need to dedicate them to God, or use them in God. And really what they don't realize is that it is God who has made a way.
Yes.
It isn't that God makes a way for us sometimes. God makes a way for us all the time.
Yes.
You're coming and you're going about the grace of God. It's about the power of God, about the mercy of God. So I want to encourage you tonight, all of us who are holding on to the Lord. And as we used to say growing up, holding up the bloodstained banner. And those of us who have made up our minds, we've decided to follow Jesus and we're going all the way. Hey, don't let anything change your mind, because the devil tries to change your mind every day, because he tries to change mine.
Yes.
So many things happen. I was telling Donald when I came in, here I came coming down the highway today, and all of a sudden, you know, I start hearing doom, 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 doom. That means you ran over, you know, something's in your tire. And of all the cars on the street, you know, why is mine a magnet for pieces? Here it is. The same right front passenger tire that I've had 3 of them in the last year or so has another great big nail in it again. Well, you know, the first thing that happens, it doesn't matter, like God has anything to do with the trash that's in the street. But the first thing is what now, God?
Yes.
You know, so, well, I don't ever say that. Well, then you're more spiritual than me.
Yes.
But for all of us, you know, this is the first thing, oh, Lord, is something else. Well, you know, it is earth after all. And if I had my way about it, I know a lot of people, and it's not God's way, because God knows something about us. And give me a moment.
Yeah.
God knows something about us that we don't know. God knows that there are some people in the earth who are so stubborn, no matter what happens to them, they are not going to change their mind.
Yeah, that's true.
They are very much like Pharaoh. You know, I was listening to the directors the other week, and they were talking about Pharaohs, and when the Bible says, the way that it's interpreted in the Bible and written in King James it's written in I don't know, maybe Minister Smith can tell me the fashion that it's written in, but it's actually written, there are some things in the Bible that are written in an opposite fashion. When God says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, what God is saying is, what I am going to do is going to cause Pharaoh's heart to harden. It could soften his heart, but it's not, because he's a knucklehead. So when I move and show him my power, instead of him saying, I need to obey that God, he's going to get more stubborn and more obstinate, and he's going to refuse to obey God. So there are some people that when earth starts to beat them into the ground and there are more of them than there are people who come to God, obviously, because there are a lot more sinners than saved people. And when earth starts to beat them into the ground, just like you and I, instead of them saying, I need some help and I need God, they make up their mind, God won't help me, I'm not going to come to God. Well, how dumb is that? That's dumb and dumber.
Yes.
And the same thing that causes me to call on God causes them to be angry with God.
Yeah,
well, what is the problem? Yeah, well, that's because the devil's tormenting them and tormenting their minds. Same devil they have, we have.
Yeah.
Same one that torments their minds, torments our minds.
Yeah.
It's their unwillingness. There's a thing about people.
Yes.
You know, there's a thing about them. It's like me writing papers. I can't write them to the last minute, and I have tried. And I've asked God to give me a miracle and change the way I am about that. But that doesn't matter in the scheme of heaven, so he doesn't seem to touch that. But there's a thing about people. There's a stubbornness and an obstinance in people that even when their bodies are full of cancer, they won't try God.
Yes. That's true.
And when when death is there, you know, they have allowed the devil to so encroach on their minds. And the devil can do that because of their unwillingness to come to God. They're so resolute in their own soul life. Nothing changes them and causes them to draw nearer to God. Listen, saints of God, everybody who has the Holy Ghost, you should want to do more in God.
Yes.
If you're going to church sometimes when service is there, you should want to go all the time.
Yes.
You should be so glad that the grace and mercy of God has you still coming at all. That you should be so grateful that the Holy Ghost has not departed from you.
Yes.
But in our slowfulness and in our resistance to really getting in there and glorifying, you should be so glad of God's patience and His mercy.
Yes.
His mercy that He has every day for you.
Oh,
new mercies every day.
Mercy.
You should be so glad about that.
Yeah.
You should say, you know what? While I have the mercy of God, I need to do more in God.
Yes.
We don't seem to ever see ourselves on the edge. We don't seem to ever see ourselves on the edge.
Mm-mm.
Until things collapse, and then here we go, and then we try to pray long and hard, fast, and cry all night, and do everything else, and make up for all the time that we weren't in God. And I want to get that right too. When the scripture says redeeming the time for the days of evil, it doesn't mean you cannot make up for the praise that you should have given God yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
That you cannot do. You cannot make up for not thanking God last night before you went to bed.
Amen.
That day is
done.
You can, when it says redeeming the time, it means making the most of the time that you have left by being in God, because the earth is not improving. The days are evil. It's not going to get any better in the earth. The only thing that gets better about us is what God gives us and causes things to be better. We have so many people who, you know, even the people who come to our churches, the few that do come, Lord, we're so careful not to try and bruise them and hurt them. But you know what? Some days I feel like saying to them, you know, and I know not to say it because God hasn't said it to me. But I really feel like saying to them someday, you know what? You know, you need to either go or no go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't depend on you.
Yes.
Don't show up.
Yep.
But for the grace of God in us, we would be meaner than we are, but I'm glad we're not.
Amen.
I really appreciate God. I've learned to be like God in that regard. I've learned as long as God has put up with me, I can surely put up with other people. I want to look at a couple of scriptures tonight to encourage you. One of them is in Revelation, and it's in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And I looked at two scriptures in Luke tonight. And I want to read one parable to you. And it's in Revelation chapter. I'm going to be in Revelation chapter 3. I'm also going to look in Luke chapter 5, I think it is. In And I didn't lose all my pages. I want to encourage all of us. Listen, no, you, if you settle yourself in for a life of ease, and you think you've got church licked now, and you can just come and go when you please, and just go on your merry way and be safe, I want you to know there's a storm coming.
Yes.
There's a storm coming. Because when the devil feels like he can settle you into a nice, comfy, easy ride where you don't have to, you know, get up and be in the house of God, you don't have to do anything, there's a storm coming.
Yes.
And Jesus told him, he says, when they say peace and safety, watch out.
Yes.
He says, because then calamity is going to come. And when you get yourself into, as the world says, a groove, and you're just coasting along and you come when you want to and whatever, the sad part and the tragic part is about when believers who are in churches come and they start doing that, they don't seem to realize, they don't seem to get it, that they are losing ground. Mm-hmm. I came in here tonight and I looked in here. There are 5 bulbs out in here. Once upon a time, there wouldn't have been any.
Yes.
But you just don't notice them. You come in and you turn the light on and it's not on or whatever. And you just keep going. And it keeps getting dimmer and dimmer before you realize, why is it so dim in there? Because half your lights are out.
Oh, yes.
Well, I can do something about that. When you find out half your lights out, you need to go get some new bulbs.
Yeah.
When you find out half your lights out in God, you know what you need to do? You need to go to the source and get some more light.
Right. Yes, amen.
You need to lighten yourself up again. And as the Bible says, stare at the gift that's within you. In other words, you need to, you know, we need to encourage others. Hey, you know, and yes, there is coming a time, and I'll wait on the Lord's time, but there is coming a time. And for the people's sake, you pray God will give you the words in the spirit to say to them, you know, you need to do better. Because it's like a child is failing, or a spoiled child, that you don't ever want to say you need to do better.
Yes.
At some point in time, someone needs to say you need to do better.
Yes.
And it's not to your advantage when you are failing and when you're falling, and no one will come along and say to you, you need to do better.
That's right. Yes.
Someone needs to do it. But Jesus came along. He tried to tell the Pharisees that. I understand, because he says, you know, I can heal this blind man because he knows he's blind. He says, and if you knew you were blind, I'd heal you. But since you say you see, the problem is that you don't know how blind you are.
Right.
We don't realize sometimes, especially since COVID, among church people, you don't realize just how far from church we have gotten.
Yes.
And true enough, I thought COVID was a great reset moment, because lots of things that we were doing really needed to be like the law in Jesus' time. They need to be nailed to the cross and never go back to. There's some things that we were doing that we don't ever need to go back to. I know that very well. And anybody who's in the spirit will know some of the things need to be gone forever.
Yes.
But there are other things that absolutely we must have. I'm looking in Luke tonight, and I'm in Luke chapter 4, and he said unto them, 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And in Luke chapter 4, when we're looking at this, and normally we read these scriptures in Matthew, but we're reading in Luke tonight. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues in Galilee. One of the other things, too, that we're looking at is when we read in Matthew, we see him walk by Simon and say to Simon and his brother, follow me, and they followed him. And then he walks by the table of Matthew sitting in custom and says, follow him. Matthew gets up and follows him. But in Luke, you find out, because that seems almost hypnotic or too much to somebody just get up and follow you. But you find out when you read Luke, you find out that Jesus is preaching and doing miracles all this time before he gets in the boat with Simon. He says, and he, in verse 4, well, I'll start in 5 and 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. He asked Simon, says, you know, can you just push me out a little bit from the shore because all these people around and all this, and by now his reputation, even though he's trying to keep it down, is beginning to grow. And Simon does this. And Simon lets him sit there in his boat, Peter, and lets him preach to the people. You know, now this says something about Simon, doesn't it? Because he's not the kind of person who says, well, you know, can't you use somebody else's boat? You won't pay me.
Yeah.
Already you see the disposition. Some, you know, you say, well, Simon had a temper. Simon was this and that and the other. But, you know, he had a way about him that would you know, he was reasonable
yeah.
in that regard. And then after he finishes preaching, he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draft. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break, and they beckoned to their partners which one of the other ships they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Now he realizes the power of God and who Jesus is. He doesn't just follow a stranger.
Right. Yeah.
He's watching him do all these miracles, and he's done miracles in his life. If God has done miracles in your life, you know what? You need to get up and run on. No matter what has happened, if God has given you a miracle at any time, starting with the miracle of salvation, that really is enough for you to keep on. Really, the miracle of salvation is enough for you to keep on running. You should run. But God doesn't stop there, because he knows that not only do we need to be saved, but he also knows that our lives are raggedy. Yeah. We might be a rich raggedy or a poor raggedy or in-between raggedy, but they're raggedy nonetheless. And they have so many holes in them that need to be plugged just for us to make it to the time of either that we die and go to heaven or the rapture comes. He knows there's so much about us in our minds, in our life, in our way. And he's never able, excuse me, in earth to make us completely, you know, without any blemish or whatever, but he passes us up to the best we can, and the blood and his grace covers the rest.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
His patience and his long, he gets us to the point where the blood will cover, grace will cover, mercy enough for everybody, and we can make it in if we'll just do these things that are reasonable. In other words, they make sense. Our reasonable service, not minimum service, but it makes sense to serve God. It's, you know, if I am, you know, if I'm the one who's got all the grace and the mercy, and you're the person who's always cutting up, and I'm still trying to save and try to get you eternal life, it makes sense that you ought to somehow go along with me. At least to me it does. It seems like if I tell you, if you don't go along with me, you're going to be lost for all eternity. In other words, you're going directly to hell, and it's a horrible place. And you're going to be tormented day and night forever and forever, and there's no repentance beyond the grave. And once you get there, you're there forever, and eternity lasts forever beyond anything you can think of. But you can have eternal life with God, and you can have a place that is, you can have a living eternal life that's so great that it's way beyond your wildest imagination. Your eyes can't even come, you know, with your eyes and your ears, you can't even comprehend how great it is. It makes sense to me that you would choose heaven.
Yes.
It makes no sense.
Yes.
You know, and when you figure it out, you start to say, because the devil makes no sense.
Yes.
Why would someone who's in heaven, who's given a position, who is anointed by God, why would you rebel?
Yes.
That makes no sense. None whatsoever. But then no sin does. You know, like we like to say, well, that sin, that I don't see why there's a problem with that. Every sin, no sin makes any sense, because every sin destroys. If it didn't destroy you, God wouldn't have a problem.
That's right.
It's your greatest good that he's after. And he says to him, after he's taught all these people, in verse number 10, and for he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought back their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And you find out the sons of Zebedee do the same thing. But it isn't they just walk off. following this man. They know by the time they go with him that he's the Son of God. They know that he has great power in the Word of God, and they're following him. Then I want to look also in Luke in chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I want to encourage everybody tonight and encourage everybody you see. Asking the question, why don't you come back to church? I was witnessing to my neighbors, and he was kind of in the position to try and come, and he watched one of the services on Zoom, and so after a while, you know, he said it to me again, well, I might come. And so I saw him one afternoon walking. I said, well, you know, when are you going? Why aren't you coming? He says, oh no, my wife has decided she's just going to watch. She's just going to go to church from now on TV. I'm sorry, that won't work. Mm-hmm. You can be in a position. Yeah. And in a situation where all you can do is watch TV.
Yes.
And God will honor that.
Yes.
You can be the only you can be in a circumstance. God honors our circumstance. But when God puts you in a position, in a place where you're able to worship with people of like precious faith, God expects you to do that.
Yes.
That's the reason why when India talked to me about going back to the church she was going to, and if that one doesn't work out for her, find another one that does. And we'll always love your fellowship, love you, and you'll always be one of us no matter where you are. We're like the Baptists. Baptist people don't care how many churches you belong to in your lifetime. If they put your name on the roll when you were 3 years old, I guarantee you right now you might be 90, but your name's still on that roll. You haven't been there since you were 10.
Once you're in there, you're in there.
And we're the same way. You always be out.
Yeah.
But if you find you a good little good congregation, small or big, probably in between, where you can glorify and enjoy God, go. Yeah. And the Word of God is right and the Spirit is there, go. And I say that to anybody else. You need to be somewhere where you can worship in the house of God. That's why even as we were bringing up the jurisdiction, that's why when Tamika Harris and all of them were here, we tried to start a church in Pensacola. We tried several times. We had Bible studies and everything else. But when Tamika finally said to me, she said, Bishop, I'm not going to come back. I'm going to find me a church in Pensacola. I have no problem with that.
Yes.
I didn't ask her, is there something wrong with us? Might have been. I don't know. I didn't ask. I had no problem with her doing it, period. Because it becomes a long drive, and if you can find, like the Jewish believers, a church that's round the corner. So if your car doesn't crank, and on a summer day you can walk around there and have service and be there for prayer and be there for everything, that's where you're supposed to be. That's why Paul and I would not even look at houses in Crestview. We looked at one. And when we realized the drive, we said, this won't fit into our church life. How are we supposed to work here on Eglin, live in Crestview, make it to prayer, make it to service, unless we're going to bring a change of clothes and just live here at the end of each day? We didn't even ask.
Yeah.
Too far away.
Yes.
Can't do that. That won't work for us. If I lived in Crestview, I'd find me a church in Crestview.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes down to it, for everyone, if you're like Elder T. Angela Rogers, and you have conditions and you have things, it works for you.
Yes.
And God will be with you. If you're like India until she finds herself, it works for you. You like Sister Nancy, and right now her, the Lord is working things out for her, but she's not in a position right now where she can just, be whatever. Zoom works.
Yes.
But when you get to a point, when you get to where God wants you to be,
yes.
financially and everything else, God will make a room for you.
Yes, he will.
God will open a place for you.
Yes.
I don't say nothing about anybody who's been living in the city for, been living around here 5-6 years and still looking for a church. No. There are way too many in every shade, every flavor, every denomination, unless you're something, as the man said in the old movie, you must be some new kind of people. nothing fits for you.
Yes.
God will make things work according to the ministry that he's given you and how he's doing. If you're an evangelist, then yeah, you might be on the road a lot.
Yeah.
But even still, you find yourself needing to be among the saints. So when he says to Simon, he says to him, from now on, you're going to be fishers of men.
Yeah.
He makes this statement after convincing him. Let me look at my next scripture. Then about Luke chapter 9. Yes. Luke chapter 9. And then I'm going to go on to Revelation and we'll be done for tonight. Luke chapter 9. About verse number 23. Or before that, about 18. It's the same thing it says in Matthew. Verse number 18. And it came to pass when he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. When he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom do people say that I am? Same thing it says, same thing that Matthew records. And they answered, John the Baptist, and some say Elias. Others say one of the old prophets is risen. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering, saying, the Christ of God. Straightly he charged them and commanded them that they tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. And he saying to them, he says, that's right, but let's not make a big deal of it so quickly because I have a lot to do, yes, and I still have to finish this ministry. He says, and like I told you to begin with, I like Dakes' reference to wax and clay when it comes to hardening. He says, the same sun heats wax and clay. The wax, it melts. The clay, it hardens. And Jesus says to them, now, you've seen the miracles, and you love the power, and you love me, he says, but the same people that hear my sermons that you love, they hate me because of it.
Yeah.
And the same people that see the power that I use, they hate me because of it. They can't deny the power, but they don't like me for having it. How hardened are you when you don't want God to deliver you?
Yes.
What sort of person are you that you don't want God to deliver other people and bring them out? And even us among churches, how hardened are we when we don't open ourselves up? And this is the reason why I said we have to soften ourselves. We don't open ourselves up and want everybody to be saved.
Yes.
What sort of person are you who never wants wants someone to never be forgiven?
Right.
You don't want God to ever forgive this person.
Yes.
What kind of person are you?
Yes.
You don't know the forgiveness of God yourself. What sort of person are you who doesn't want this person to repent? I would love for Trump to repent.
Yes.
It would be so. I'm not talking about some Paula White. You know, we all get around and lay hands on him, play games with. You know, Hagee's son and Copeland's son and Swaggart's son. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about the man's heart be changed and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because there's no way in the world your heart can be changed and filled with the Holy Ghost and keep doing what he's doing. It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work.
You can't, you know, I know you have all the rock singers and all those people who say, well, I'm saved now. The Lord is my Savior, but this is my occupation. No. If Peter could give up a good, clean fishing company and go follow Jesus, my God, surely you can give up your corrupt, sin-provoking, whatever you're doing, and go follow Jesus. You can't convince me, well, I'm saved and sanctified. I'm saved. I got the Lord, but I run a bar. It doesn't work like that. You can't have me. You can't have me running a bar. And I'm saying, as Jesus is saying, that you shouldn't be drunk because you open yourself for the devil to come in for sin. And it goes that way for anything else that you do that allows the devil to come in. I don't see how, for the most part, unless you're doing pure flicks, movies, and those kinds, it's almost, for me, impossible to see anybody as an actor or an actress who really isn't God. For me, I see a contradiction. I saw Angela Bassett. She was on the show with Bishop Blake, Church of God in Christ, out in California, and she's out in the middle of the floor cutting her step. But I couldn't get into it though because I had a hard time because I didn't see all of how Stella got her groove back, but I did see some of it.
Yes.
There's a problem there. So maybe she repented. Well, if she did, glory to God.
Yes.
But the point of it is, you know, when you repent, come on. I'm the only person who ever got saved that God changed. Everybody else, you got saved and God did nothing. Say it for yourself. Be on God's side for a change. When God saved you, did he not change you?
Yes, he did. Yes, he
did. He not find some things about you that then? Did he not find some things that he had to change about you that you did not lovingly give up, that you grudgingly gave up, and it took the power of the Holy Ghost to get you to give them up, and it took the power of the Holy Ghost to set you free from them, and it took the power of the Holy Ghost to take away the desire from out of your mind, and it took the power of the Holy Ghost to stop you from thinking about it? Did you, do you not know that if you'd have loved to give up, you wouldn't have needed so much power? So then he told the disciples, he says, although you love my preaching, some people don't. And when you go tell them what I'm doing, he says, these people, he says, they're going to put me to death soon enough. He says, but give me a little time to finish what I'm doing. And he goes on down here. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And what is he saying, Ellen Smith? He's saying, I know you want to go tell everybody you with me. And I know you want to tell everybody, you know, look at us. We got the power. We got everything else. He says, but I know what you want. And you want me to just do miracles and all these things. And you don't want me leaving everything else. He says, that's what you want. But if you're going to follow me, you have to stop being so sure about what you want and decide to do what God wants. He says, if you're going to follow me, it's not all about you anymore. Because if God had left you to just what you want, you'd have never been saved.
That's absolutely true.
You'd have never allowed the Holy Ghost to come in. If he left you up to what you wanted without him coming in, he says, I had to, you know, in so many ways, God had to convince them of the goodness of God and the mercy of God. Jesus had to show them the antithesis of all the evil and all the things that were going on. He was, you know, where the Romans was cruel, he was kind. Yes. Where the publicans and all of them were arrogant and wouldn't have anything to do with anybody, let anybody into heaven, Jesus was open. And said, all of you can come into me. Where the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to make it expensive and make it so difficult to be in the house of God, and it's only for certain people, and they looked at the ones that had the money and the ones in the high seat, Jesus said, all of you belong to God. All of you can be saved. He was so different.
Yes, thank you.
He had to convince them. Because, you know, when he runs into the rich young ruler, they had made up their mind, well, if you ain't got a whole lot of money, you can't even make it into heaven. You know, because they said if rich people can't make it into heaven, who can? Well, apparently, if I make a statement, if rich people can't make it into heaven, who can? Someone has taught me that everybody's money comes because they're in God. Somehow or another, they had to be relating wealth to God. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made that statement. Somebody had to say to them, you think you're in God and you're starving. I'm in God. Look at how well the Lord is blessing you. Somebody had to say that along the line. Because they looked at Jesus, they said, well, if he can't be saved, who can?
Yes.
And Jesus says to them, he says, well, you know, you haven't figured it out yet. I know something that y'all don't know. Yes, he keeps the commandments. He says he's been keeping them all his life. But he loves money more than he loves God.
Yes.
He has something else that stands between him and God. There's something else that he has going on. So he says to the disciples when they say we have forsaken all, he says, if you're gonna follow me, he says you don't just deny yourself once. He says you have to deny yourself daily.
Yes.
He says, you got to deny you. He says, if any man will fall after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny your anger. You know, I'll just tell him off. Deny yourself. I just do it, you know. For whosoever will save his life, keep your way. Save his life. Keep your life style. We'll add style to it. That's the way we say it. Mm-hmm. Whoever's going to keep on going like you're going, you're going to lose your life. Mm-hmm. That you will lose. Whoever is unchangeable, that you will lose. But whoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. Whoever will give up life. I didn't say a 12-step program. I didn't say go into a nunnery. I didn't say go into a monastery. I didn't ask anybody to shave their hair off, go down into the jungle, do any of those things. Didn't ask anybody to, you know, be Buddhist, be all. Whoever will allow themselves to be changed for the cause of Christ, since God is always right.
Yes.
Nobody else you should make that drastic a change for but God. Shall save it. Now only my last scripture because I'm getting long. Revelation chapter 20. I mean chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 in my favorite church. Revelation chapter 3. Yes. And to the angel of the church that is Philadelphia. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Revelation 3 and 7. Encouraging you tonight. Be not weary in well doing. Hold on to what you got. Go on in God. If you want to keep yourself able to do physical activity, then you have to keep doing physical activity.
Yes, yes.
If you sit down and become sedentary, is that the right word? Mm-hmm. And allow yourself to never do anything, you become a couch potato, because I have to watch it because I'm at an age and time where, you know, and if you don't get up and do something, I say to myself, I need to get up and burn some energy. I need to do something. Yeah. Might not do a lot, but I need to do something. My sister Donna walks every day except Sunday. She walks every morning except Sunday. If you want to keep moving and you want to keep yourself in good health, you have to keep moving. Yes. One of the things that kill a lot of us are office jobs.
Yes.
And we sit behind desks and we don't do anything. We don't exercise. And when we get home, because our jobs are not physically demanding, but they're mentally demanding, we still need sleep. We still need rest. But you've got to press and get something going on. Otherwise, your body will just get out of shape and you'll slow down. And you'll do less and less. First, you'll do less because you don't want to do more. Eventually, you do less because you can't do more. If you don't keep yourself spiritually fit and keep moving in the spirit, let your prayer life decline. Stop reading your Bible. Stop coming to the house of God when you can. Stop being involved, at least being on Zoom or something. You will get slower and slower and slower, and it will become harder and harder to go for God. And you'll be at a point where spiritually you're very unfit. And so he says to the church in Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Ain't that God? Have you ever prayed a prayer, Lord, open doors that no man can close, and close doors that no man can open?
Yeah.
You want him to close every door to the devil and open every door to the Holy Ghost, all that God has? He opens doors that no man can open. He can make a highway through the Red Sea and close doors that no man can close. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. He says, I know your work. He says, you've been having a difficult time, he says, but you've continued on, you've kept my word, you've lived right, and you have not denied my name. In other words, everybody, you know, you've shown through your life. And when he says this doesn't mean when somebody walks in, you believe in Jesus, you say yes. No, through your life and through your church and the way you're going, people can see that you belong to me. Yes. You are a peculiar people. You belong to me.
Yes.
Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Don't we want to do that? Yes. Which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept my word, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, let no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him, my Lord, the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. In other words, anybody who will listen, please listen.
Yes.
Encourage the people, please listen to the word of God. He says, all those that overcome, he said, I'll write my name upon them, the name of my city. And he says, they'll belong to the city of New Jerusalem. And like the old folks say, nobody can put them out. Nobody can pull them out. And my Lord, last scripture. Last one. He gave a parable. I think Luke, the 9th chapter. And where is it?
It's a parable.
Where the man had two sons. And Adam, just a few minutes ago. And he asked them to go out. I'll find it in a minute. And one said he would go.
About the vineyard?
15
and
21. That might be it. Is it where he asked his sons to go work?
Oh, no, no, no.
Matthew 21.
Matthew what?
Matthew 21.
Oh, that's what I was holding by place in Matthew 20. Yeah. Matthew 21, and I'll be finished for tonight. Matthew chapter 21. Where is everybody tonight? Matthew 21 and 28. Jesus says this, and I want us to listen tonight. But what thank you? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and son and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And the second to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of the Father? And they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe. And what he's saying is this. There are some people who we're preaching to now. Elder Ross is preaching to. Elder Latham, all of us are preaching to. Everybody in promise. And I'm praying for them because they're out there. I call their names. And they haven't decided to come yet. But one of these days, some of them are going to come.
Yes.
And then there are other people who've been saved and been around for a very long time who told God they'd go all the way. Mm-hmm. But they're not. You know, there are some people who told the Lord, you know, Lord, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want everybody to know, when I read in Romans, the 12th chapter, when I read in Romans 8th chapter, and Paul says, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God, he talks about things present or things to come, yeah, or life or death, and he goes on and he names all these things.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to let anybody out of church, in church, round church, unchurched, never church, however. No one is supposed to separate you from God. The devil could have separated you if Christ had not died on the cross of Calvary and been resurrected and destroyed his power. He had the ability because he brought about death and he had all of us trapped and we were all going to die and end up in some portion of hell. But when Christ was resurrected from the dead, he set all of those who died, all of the saints who died, he set all of them free and made it so the rest of us don't even have to even go there. He liberated us and led captivity captive. He broke Satan's power. Until then, they were held captive by the devil. The devil's not supposed to hold anybody captive against their will. So from this point forward, for all the people who can't get themselves in churches, can't get themselves together, it's not the devil's fault, it's yours.
It's yours, yes.
Something's always holding you up.
Yeah.
Can't ever, you know, you can never, you always got someplace else to go. I got news for you. When Jesus comes, and in that great getting up morning, as the old folk used to say, when we're changed from mortal to immortal, I guarantee you, there'll be only two places to go. And you don't get to choose which one you go to. You make that choice now. When Jesus comes, right now, you always got some place to go. There's always some place to be, something you need to do, something you need to see. Somebody, you know, you got more generosity and you had a heart that's kinder than Jesus. And everybody calls on you. You can go. That's all right. When Jesus comes, there's only going to be two places to go. You're either going to go up or you're going to go down. And the choice that you're making is now you're going to heaven or hell. And the choice is, and the choice that, the place that you go is the choice that you make now. Everybody standing. To the saints in Philadelphia. Tell the people, tell everyone, especially those people who are falling back. Tell all of our children that aren't in the Lord like they need to be. Go tell them. It's time to say to, if people grew up in the house of God, I'm not saying be evil. I'm not saying mistreat them. I'm not saying rebuke them under the table. I'm not saying any of those things. There's a kind, gentle way of saying everything because God does it. And Jesus does it. There's a way of speaking the truth in love because God does it and Jesus does it. Don't go out there. No. You're going to have the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, give me what to say and how to say it and when to say it. But you know, for everybody who belongs to the house of God, somewhere along the line, especially if they're close to you, you need to say to them, you know what? You keep on doing what you're doing. You're going to hell. You're going to hell knowing God. And remind them, you know, I don't know if you remember or not. You might not think so now because of where you are. But I think I need to let you know that the Word of God was true when you learned it when you were younger. It's still true now. You need to let them know when you heard the Word of God a long time ago, it was true then. It's still true now. Even though you've gotten in the world among all the people who don't worry about hell, don't care about hell, try to convince you there is no hell, it's still there. And everybody who will not bow a knee to Jesus while they live in this earth, you will bow one day. At some point in time, ask the Holy Ghost to give you what to say. But for all of us who are saved and alike, it's something we must do. For the people we come in contact with, our lights need to shine. And by the grace of God and with the help of God and the kindness and gentleness of God and the best way we can do it, which is what we're learning how to do, rather than trying to beat people into it. We can't do that because it must be of their own free will. But we still have some obligation not to hide our light in a barrel and say under a bushel and say to them, you know what, if you don't straighten yourself up, I don't care how much you know about God. I don't care how much people have told you, but the soul that sinneth, this shall die. And if they don't believe it, take them over to Ezekiel 18 chapter and read them what it says. It says, when a righteous man forsake his righteousness and do the things that the wicked men do, shall he live. And he says, if a righteous man should forsake his righteousness and do all the wicked things that the wicked people do, he says that in his wickedness he shall die and his righteousness shall not be mentioned. Maybe some people need to read that.
Yes.
Some of them outside the church and some of them in it. You need to read it.
Yes.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, we're trying to do what you said to do. Lord, give us the power.
Yes.
Lord, to save some with compassion.
Yes.
And for others to pull some of them out of the fire. Lord, some of the people, Lord, are really on their way to the fire.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, you give us the right words and encourage our hearts so that we will not be afraid. Move by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and certify, Lord, the things confirm the words that we say. And Lord, move among us. For everyone, Lord, drive the devil out. In Jesus' name, Satan, Lord, rebuke you.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, strengthen us with might by your Spirit. Lord, that we will be able to pull men and women out of the fire. Some of them, Lord, in our churches, Lord, give us the grace and mercy. Cause us to know of your grace and mercy. And Lord, to take it upon our, and to take it upon ourselves, Lord, to be likened to your precious Son, Jesus Christ, so that we would show grace and mercy that we have received from you. And Lord, have compassion on others that they would be saved, O God. Lord, whether they are saved by compassion or Lord, whether we have to pull them out of the fire, strengthen us with might by your Spirit, by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God. Lord, enable us, O God, in this ministry. And Lord, give us the great courage that whoever we should run in contact with, Lord, by the grace of God, by the wisdom of God, Lord, we would bear witness of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, to the point, Lord, that they would come to be saved. And Lord, they would be delivered from the evil one, from sin to sick, from Satan and sin unto God. Have their sins forgiven, Lord, and have eternal life. Lord, move on our behalf. And Lord, make us witnesses of you and cause us to have great light. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all honor. Lord, heal the sick tonight. Help you, Lord. Make a way, Lord, for all those that need to be made a way for, Lord. I pray, Lord, lift up Sister Nancy, Lord, and do far and beyond all that she's ever even asked. Lord, sit her in a good place, oh God. Cause things to work right. Lord, touch Elder Chancellor Rogers, Lord, in a way, Lord, that she is, Lord, that she beyond, Lord, what she could ever imagine. Lord, move by your exceeding great power tonight. Lord, touch Elder Jenkins and deliver her in every way. Lord, you are a miracle worker. Lord, she needs a miracle. Lord, move on her behalf and do what only you can do. Lord, the doctors can do nothing about it. Oh, God, but you have more power than any doctor on earth. Lord, move on her behalf in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, touch Elder Russell today. Lord, and I pray, Lord, give her strength, Lord. Cause her bones and her joints to be strengthened and moved throughout her body, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord, remember Elder Thompson, Elder Smith, Elder, all everyone, Lord, who has any ill, oh Lord. Lord, touch Minister Chandra Smith tonight and regulate her body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, move by your exceeding great power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would worship you and serve your name. Lord, that when we see your great power, we would do like Simon and like Peter. I mean, like Simon and like Andrew and like Levi, oh God. Lord, that we would follow you to the fullest, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we would glorify your name in that great day, oh God. Lord, we would dwell with you forever.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, anoint Timaeus, Lord. Touch him, and touch him, Lord, and give him rhythm in all things, Lord. Lord, give him rhythm. Give him an anointing. Give him that he does not have. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be used in the house of God and dwell in the house of God all the days of his life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, Lord.
God bless everybody. Thank God for you. We'll be back on Sunday morning praising and magnifying the Lord. Anybody you know in the direction of Promise, anybody who would like to visit Promise, please come out. We will be here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock going into Christian education, followed by 11 o'clock we're going to our morning worship service. Our service should be over by no later than 12 o'clock. So I thank God for you. Encourage people to come. You can tell them from the start. There's only a few of them, but if you go, there'll be even more. So thank God for you. Pray the Lord just bless you real good. Anything else before we close?
Mm-hmm.
Any announcements, anything?
Praise
the Lord. Let the words of my mouth.
Let the words of my mouth.
The meditation of my
heart.
Be acceptable
in
thy sight.
O Lord.
My strength.
My Redeemer.
In Christ Jesus.
And
the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Did anybody contact you about the birthday dinner?
Yes.
Okay.
God bless everybody.
Okay.
Hi, Frank. Good evening. Gloria, adios.